Our next speaker is Dr. Carrie Christine Nadeau. She is a professor of allergy at Stanford University. Go ahead, Carrie.
Hi. Can everyone hear me okay?
Yes.
Great. So my name is Carrie, and I'm a professor in immunology as well as allergy and asthma, and I run the Sean Parker Center at Stanford and do a lot of clinical research, but also a lot of basic science in my lab. And I've been very involved in the COVID-19 research that's been going on at Stanford. So I thought I'd quickly tell you about what to do personally, what's happening on a population basis at least here in the Bay Area, and then also what we hope to expect around the globe. And then finally, give some hope and promise in terms of what therapies are out there and what prognostics might be able to be done at home with microsampling to know whether or not someone has been treated well or if someone's immune. And Simon gave some great introductions as to what's happening with MIT. So personally, I've been going to the hospital, and a lot of my colleagues, nurses, and physicians are going daily to make sure that we take care of patients. I'm sure everyone saw the 60-minute special as to what's happening in New York City, but many places around the country are hit hard. Importantly, is we really want to emphasize to decrease the death rate, decrease inpatients, as well as help the outpatients. So our focus right now is on outpatients. But personally, what I'm finding is if people can keep their social distancing, can keep to the hand sanitizer rule, people are doing very well not getting the virus. In addition, on the populational side, once the governor put into place our shelter-in-place rules and guidelines, if you look at California, for the six counties that were initially suspended and put into shelter-in-place, we are now seeing a decrease in numbers. So I'm an optimist, but I also am a realist, and that is very good to see that the shelter-in-place actually did what it was supposed to do, and we're trying, in the last week, we're seeing a trail off. But we're also careful because that could change. We don't want to have irrational exuberance over that number, but importantly is we're only as good as our tools and our data. So the reason we think that that plateauing actually is real is because Stanford right now with our RT-PCR, we're offering it to patients with exposures or without exposures. So we tested about 7,000 people randomly. And so we're able to detect who in the community has the exposure. And even though we're not at Korea levels yet, we are trying to keep those people that are COVID-19 positive informed and quarantine immediately. So at least within our area, we're trying to do as much as we can to suspend the exposure of this virus. Finally, we are developing, as Simon had mentioned, the immune test, which I think is very important for people in the workforce. So we are only, again, as good as our data. There's a lot of published opinions out there. We need published data on the science around the immunology. There's tons of kits that are being tested. Stanford this weekend is doing 3,000 people, many of them healthcare workers, for which we know were COVID-19 positive back in January and February. And so we are looking at their immune level, and if we can test their immunity, we can then look at those characteristics and those levels of this molecule called immunoglobulin that protects them against reinfection. And so that's really critical because for the workforce, if we can get to this kit level, at home level microsampling that we are doing in about 2,000 to 3,000 people this weekend, we will be able to publish, and hopefully that data will help a lot of people know when to go back into the workforce and when it's not appropriate. And then finally, on the hope and promise of therapies, there's a lot of information out there in terms of what works, what doesn't work. The Infectious Disease Society just published a paper this week saying there still needs to be tests, we still need randomized controlled trials. The FDA has done an incredible job fast-tracking at warp speed the applications that are coming through diagnostically as well as on the therapeutic side. There's a lot of information on remdesivir and some other molecules. Happy to talk about that during the question and answer session. I think there's a lot of hope and promise out there. I think that one drug particularly might not work, but we need a combination of therapies. The people that are having a lot of trouble right now surviving this virus are people with vascular disease. To some extent, it's the immune system. But in addition, it's people with vascular disease, people that have smoked, people that have vaped, people that are not doing well in terms of blood pressure, the elderly. So because this virus uses our vascular cells to target to get into our bodies, oftentimes it's people with vascular disease
that are getting hit the hardest. I'll stop there.
Carrie, thank you so much. We have a lot of questions for you later.